The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Well, it's a great pleasure to welcome back our professor of experimental brain research at Trinity College Dublin, Shane O'Mara, author of many, many books. And he tells us about the biological, physical aspects of the brain. And today we want to talk about people, quote unquote, trusting their gut, their intuition, their instinct. Whereas people have a part of their brain where they analyse kind of methodically, scientifically. And a recent study looked at gamblers and they said, OK, we want you to predict matches, say a week out, a good bit out. And then near the time you get injury news, you get new data and you change your predictions. And what they found was that if you stuck to your original hunch and prediction, you were 20% more likely than those who changed their mind to collect. So what is a gut feeling? What is the science behind it? Shane, what is a gut feeling?
So a feeling, or a gut feeling is literally that, Ivan. It's a feeling in your gut. So you've already introduced the kind of general theme here. You know, there are times when you make really fast judgments. Something moves in front of you when you're cycling or driving in the car. You hit the brake quickly without, and it's only afterwards you identify things. Or you've got a second or two to make a judgment that you're going to bet on a horse versus a different horse. You do that really, really quickly and you have very little information. Other times you spend a lot of time analysing things. So the election that's coming up, we'll spend a lot of time trailing over the entrails, and the kind of judgments we make will depend on the information that we've got. And it's unsurprising. The brain exists in the body and it talks to the gut. And sometimes when the brain is stressed, the gut is stressed as well.
Right. Well, now, I would have thought that there was messages going from the gut to the brain to say, ahoy there, I'm hungry. Ahoy there, I'm thirsty. So at a physical level, is this kind of intellectual, mental thing a different mechanism?
So you're actually totally on the money there. You have a big nerve called the vagus, which talks to the stomach.
But the vagus.
The vagus nerve.
Speaking about
gambling. Not appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. The vagus is what?
It's a big nerve that comes out of the brain that avoids the spinal cord that goes down into your body trunk. So all those feelings that you get in your body are relayed to the brain by the vagus. Now, you're quite right. There's a two-way signal. So there's a signal coming in saying, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I've eaten something too salty, I need a bit of water to thin it down. But the opposite is true also. The pacing in the gut depends on signals from the brain. So there are signals like, it's time to sleep, slow down the activity in the gut. I have woken up in the morning, it's time to pick up activity in the gut again. And one of the things that we know is that when you're under stress, the signal in the vagus is blunted. So that means that...
In which direction?
Going out. So this means...
From the brain down.
Yeah, this is why you feel a bit sick sometimes when you're very stressed. You might feel like you want to throw up.
Okay.
You might feel like you have to get to the loo very
bit
quickly.
Bit nausea.
All of that kind of thing.
And that's butterflies type of thing.
That's because the stress hormone, cortisol, is circulating in your body and it dampens down the activity that your brain normally takes of care of in the background for you.
Okay. So it's a two-way street.
It's a two-way street, absolutely.
Okay. So... My question was, what is a gut feeling?
A gut feeling is one of those things where I think the best way of thinking about a gut feeling is that it's a feeling that something is about to happen and you can't quite put it into words. There's something going on, and this is because your brain has methods of taking in information from the environment that you consciously might not be wholly aware of. So the best examples are kind of fearful things. So you might, for example, be a firefighter and you're in... this has been shown many times in the US in studies of firefighters. They're in blasting water at the fire, and one of them, who's very experienced, says, something's not right, let's get out of here, and the building collapses. And when you ask them to say, what was it that made you realise the building was about to go down, they don't really know. It's a feeling that they had in the air, it's a feeling in their feet, it's a smell, it's a whole lot of different things. And they have to make a quick judgment on the basis of what's known as a thin slice of information. And when they trust that, more times than not, they're right. And they make the better decision to get out. The ones in that case who ignore it don't and end up...
But what's really going on? In other words, at the subconscious level, what information is being fed in that you haven't analysed but gives you an instinct.
Yeah, so what's happening here actually is we can test this in patients who've got damage to particular parts of the brain. So a really good example is people who've had a head injury that's made them blind. So the visual area of the brain is at the very back. And if you want to recognise faces and all of that kind of thing, you have to use this area. But if you put people in a scanner who've got damage to this part of the brain and you present them with angry faces, you'll get activity in a brain area called the amygdala. And the amygdala's job is to signal to you that something unpleasant is about to happen.
Is that the fight or flight?
It controls the fight or flight or freeze, which is the other thing it does to you. And it's probably the key part of the brain for all of these kinds of information. The problem is it doesn't have access to the speech centres in the brain. So it sends out a big broadband signal saying something's up.
Yes.
And then you freeze and you look around.
Right.
And then you have to make a decision.
Now, okay, let's relate this to gambling then, because there would be lots of things, right? For example, so I went to Croker on Sunday. I would have it in my head, a team that has been there, done that, is more likely on the big occasion, less likely to freeze. And as it happened, Ballyhague and Corrifin eventually won. I would have a view that certain horses are much better at certain courses. They like going left-handed continuously. They don't like going left-handed. They like a particular ground. So I would instinctively sometimes know this about the horse. I wouldn't need to research it or whatever. Would you call that analytical or would you call that gut instinct? In other words, I would never back a team away from home in rugby because I believe it's worth 8 points. So that kind of, but it's hard-bitten experience of backing good teams away from home. The referee's a homer or whatever. You know, there's things built into that. Why the crowd, the atmosphere. But I'd put that down to experience.
It's exactly experience. And you see the same thing in all areas where humans are experts. So chess is another one. People are really, really good who've played thousands and thousands of matches. They're really good at reading the course of a match and they can predict very well who's going to win, who's going to lose. And they're good at placing bets on the winners.
But that's not gut instinct. It's experience.
Gut instinct and experience amount to the same thing.
Oh, do they?
Because you've learned from your experience. Because what you're doing is saying, I've been to, I don't know how many football matches you've been at.
Yeah.
1,000 in your lifetime.
Yeah.
20,000 horse races,
indeed,
whatever the number
indeed,
is.
Indeed.
So you've been learning on the fly all the time.
Well, from your mistakes.
Of course, from your mistakes. And your brain is storing this away somewhere. And so long as you're capable of recognising when you've made the bad call, and you can update your process of decision-making,
change your mind about
you'll be very good.
Now, one of the things that I also heard was that compulsive gamblers have a thing in their brain that knows no fear. Whereas if you say, oh, Jesus, Shane, this thing is going to win, have 10 grand on it, right? And you're saying, hold on a minute, 10 grand's a lot of money, and your innate caution kicks in. But with the compulsive gambler, they don't have that valve to say no.
Yeah,
they don't see the fear. They don't think, hold on a minute, this could lose.
Yeah, the amygdala is not being turned on. And there
is that the amygdala?
Yeah, in essence, the broadband kind of blast out that says stop isn't working in these people.
So you're on a losing run and you're chasing your losses.
And you chase, you double down, you do all the silly things that gamblers do.
Right. So romance. Your gut instinct on romance in terms of relationships, would that apply there? In other words, that this is a nice person, this is a suitor. Is that to do with your amygdala and vagus or not?
So these are all kind of parts of it. You know, when you're making a judgment about romance, these are all very, very quick snap decisions. You know, people make the decision quickly and you see it on Tinder.
You know,
all
first impressions are lasting.
First impressions make really...
Is that nonsense?
No, of course not. People, the problem is your judgment can be bad. You know, if you consistently say, I'm going for a particular type, and of course they don't go back for you, well, maybe you should be changing your type.
Right.
So in other words,
is that in the gush though? Where you have an instinct, you've met someone and you say, right, that's it.
It has to be in the head first because your gut can't see the world. All your gut sees is what the brain tells it and what you're put into your mouth. So that's it. So, but the feeling you get in your gut is something that your brain is telling you in the background via the vagus.
So is that analytical or not?
No, it's not. It's kind of intuitive.
Right. Right. So is there any other area of life in terms of your work that you would say go with your instinct rather than with your R&D?
So I actually think that the best time is when your gut instinct, the fast snap judgment that you make and the reflective judgment you make are the same. When the two of them are different,
right? That's a good point.
The problem.
It's kind of like a double down
effect.
It's
a double down, exactly. But the problem is when the two of them are different. And if something is saying to you, something's not right here, but I've gone through my spreadsheet and everything's fine, then you know there's something not right and you need to
Which should you lean towards?
Oh, you should lean towards your gut in that case. And
there
have been so many examples of this, of investors over history, for example.
Yes.
Some of whom are completely spreadsheet driven,
right?
And they get taken in by the
You're only as good as the data. Yes.
But there's much more to what's going on in the world than the data, because there's information out there that isn't in the spreadsheet.
Right.
And what you're relying on is the picking up of these things.
Well, that's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. We'll have to get you to be an odds compiler with one of our bookie chappies. All right. Thank you, Shane. Look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thanks, Ivan.